With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's get some answers maybe to that. Certainly some other more pressing questions. Sean Devaney from the Sporty News, NBA Insider. He is en route to Brooklyn, going over to BK, Barclays Center, getting ready for the draft tonight. Sean, Tiki, and Tierney, how are you today, buddy? What's happening?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Doing really well. Two things really jump off the page, I think, to both Tiki and I. One is the way teams gauge the future health of Michael Porter. I'm sure there's mixed reaction across the board, but can you create an opinion that represents the majority? Do most teams feel comfortable with his medical charts, or are most teams giving it pause right now?
You know, I would say it's pretty well split, and it's really no gray area. Either you're a team that looks at it and says, I don't like what this is shaping up for, and therefore we're out, or you're a team that says, this doesn't scare me, and we're in. There's not many teams that say, well, maybe. You know, it's usually a pretty either-or from the people that I've spoken with. So I think that's the situation, and if you like the guy's talent and obviously the fact that he's missed the past year, that's going to hurt his stock just as much as the injuries. But if you like the talent that you saw coming out of high school, then he's certainly worth a gamble.
And it's hard not to like that talent. He's a prodigious talent. But I wonder, you know, any direct intel for teams, say, because I don't think he's not going one or two. Mm-hmm. But teams in that, say, you know, 3 to 8 spot, can you identify a team that you know, whether it's Dallas, whether it's Memphis, whether it's Orlando, the Bulls with Markkanen could be an interesting pairing, that is sold on his health completely? And do you think you have a destination for Porter, or you're not sure yet?
Yeah, I think Dallas is okay with what they saw in the medicals, and would take him at number 5 if the guy that they like best, who is Mo Bamba, if he's not there, then I think they'd be comfortable taking Porter. I know they also like Wendell Carter, so Dallas, I would say, is one, and Chicago is another, and I believe Cleveland as well. So I'd have a hard time seeing him get past number 8 in this draft. But nowhere in the top 3, Memphis is at number 4, is still a bit of a wild card, so we don't quite know what's going to happen with their pick. But I would say, yeah, somewhere either 5, 7, or 8, I think, probably makes the most sense for Porter.
You know, Sean, I'm looking at your mock draft right here. It's at sportingnews.com for those who want to go find it. You got the 2 Duke guys at 2 and 4, and 8 in his number is leading the group here, as a lot of people have that. And as you get down a little bit farther, you get to the Cavaliers, which is their pick via the Nets, you have to take him Trae Young. Trae is another one of those interesting guys who a lot of people don't know whether or not he'll translate because of his size, if he'll be able to create. And we had this Buddy Hield question last year, same type of thing. You're a fantastic college shooter, but can you create on your own? The jury's still out, obviously. But what's the prevailing thought on Trae Young? Because he gets compared to the greatest shooter of all time and Steph Curry, yeah, but he also could be frail and maybe a bust. Where do people lie on him?
Yeah, and you mentioned the two guys that you hear most often. One is Buddy Hield, and if you use a top 10 pick on him, then you're hoping it's not Buddy Hield. You're hoping you see more Steph Curry than you do Buddy Hield. The other thing you hear too is that he didn't play any defense at Oklahoma, and I talked to him about that yesterday, and he said, yeah, I didn't, he certainly acknowledged that, but at the same time, he was scoring 27.5 points and getting 9 assists. So he had a different kind of role than to go out there and be a defensive stopper. So, there's certainly some question about that. Cleveland had him in for a workout a couple of days ago, and the feeling was that if he's still going to be there at 8, that's where he'd wind up. One thing about him is I believe he, over the course of the year, I forget the total number of three three-pointers that he took. There was only something like 14 that were uncontested. And I'm sorry, 19 that were uncontested. The whole season, he took 19 uncontested three-pointers. That's how much attention that he was getting on defense. And the uncontested three-pointers that he shot, he made 14 of them. He's not going to get that kind of defensive attention in the NBA. So I think that, a lot of folks look at that and say, this is a guy who's going to do much better when he gets a little more space in the NBA.
Talking to Sean Devin, I did not know that stat, by the way, about uncontested threes. That's a good number. It's a good nugget. One. Sean Devin, of course, from the Sporting News with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, Sean, we know that the NBA is guard-centric in a lot of different ways, being able to create and distribute and obviously score. And the only other one that's really in the top half of this draft is Doncic, but we don't know anything about him. I never saw him play. He's big.
Good
but
body.
I don't know much. I didn't see him. I can't really evaluate him other than what other people say. But there is another kid in Colin Sexton who's interesting, right? He played at Alabama. And they get
tough,
right? A good coach, obviously. You know, what can you tell us about him and where his prospects lie come tonight?
He's been talked about as high as number six to Orlando, which is a team desperate for a point guard. But I think Orlando's in a position where they're desperate for talent, so they're going to go with whatever's the best available as far as how they have things lined up. But certainly he's possible there. And I would say his floor is probably the Clippers at number 12. I think Charlotte really likes him at number 11. That would be a pretty good signal of what Charlotte's plans are with Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
Should they take Colin Sexton? But, if you saw him in the tournament, Sexton, you saw what a tough, a real grinder this kid is. And I think a lot of teams have been impressed by that. What happens is that, his workouts didn't knock your socks off.
Yeah.
And because of that, he kind of slips a little bit. But then you go back and watch the games and you say, oh, yeah, that's right. That's what makes, he's got this toughness. He's a gamer. It's hard to see that in a workout like you can see in a regular season game. And just for another playmaker who might surprise is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He could go as high as six as well. And I know Cleveland has considered him at number eight. So he could be a bit of a wild card there, too.
A lot of variety of point guard really depends on your convictions in the war room. There could be wildly different ranging opinions on all the players you just mentioned. Point guard is a really interesting spot, and I hear you on that. The Clippers, you mentioned them before, and I don't know how often, and maybe you know this like from a historical footnote if they handed this out yet at the Barclays Center. First of all, when was the last time a team had back-to-back picks like this inside, say, the top 15, if you know that off the top of your head? And even if you don't, do you think that they're more inclined to take those two picks and move up or take those two picks and move back? Like, they can do really anything. They're a really interesting spot at the table tonight. Clippers, direction, what do you sense?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I'm trying to think of the last time I saw. I can't think of a team having back-to-back picks in the lottery. It's rare enough just to have two picks in the lottery, but to have back-to-back picks like that, that's something that I can't quite recall. Certainly not in the last 10, 15 years since I've been doing this. But I'm not quite sure that I can say when the last time it's been. But it's a pretty nice advantage for them to get to that spot and know that they can pluck two guys that they want. I think if they keep those picks, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is certainly a guy that they're looking at. They've got a bunch of point guards, but they're not sure what's going to happen with Austin Rivers. Patrick Beverley's coming back from microfracture. That's a pretty big question mark. Teodosic, the guy they signed from Europe, they don't know what's going to happen with him either. He could be a free agent. So I think Gilgeous-Alexander, and they also don't know what's going to happen with DeAndre Jordan. So Robert Williams from Texas A&M, I think, would be the second pick there. But they tried to package and move up. They haven't had a whole lot of luck with that. So I don't think that that's going to happen. There's a chance that they could trade one of those picks away and move down. That's certainly a possibility. But I think they'll keep at least one of them. If I had to bet, I'd say they keep both.
Okay. Talking to Sean Devaney with us, Sporting News NBA Insider, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. I love the mock world. I mean, I'm obviously involved in college hoops. I'm even looking at mocks for next year just to get a sense of some of the kids that will be freshmen next year in college. So I was watching really early where Miles Bridges from Michigan State at one point was firmly entrenched in a lot of mocks, like at this point last year and certainly at various points during this past season, inside the top five and certainly inside the top 10. You've got him plummeting to number 14. I don't necessarily disagree that he's not a, you know, not an 8 to 10 kind of a talent, but what is your specific reason for the drop? Because he's dropped a little bit here in the eyes of many.
Yeah, and it's really, it's just a matter. Well, I think there's a couple of things. One, obviously going back to school, I think there was more expected of him, and he pretty much had the same year this year as he did last year. Now, he got a lot more defensive attention, and that's probably something that gets lost in that. So, you know, I think that's one thing that's maybe a little bit unfair to him. But I also think this is just a better draft. You know, part of the reason he's dropped is that we've seen some other guys maybe that we weren't expecting, like a Gildas Alexander, for instance, who have come up and really established themselves as top 10 picks. Wendell Carter being another one that you know maybe wasn't ranked that high early on. The other Bridges, Mikal Bridges from Villanova, you know, in that same sort of category. So I don't think it's as much a reflection on him. It's more of a reflection on it's a reflection on him because he didn't take a huge leap forward this year. But mostly I think it's more you just saw some other guys just outplay him.
Yeah. Now, Sean, you've been all over this. You can see it at the Sporting News. You can see it on your Twitter account at Sean Devaney, but the San Antonio Spurs have an issue with Kawhi Leonard, as we all know. How active, if at all, are they going to be tonight? What do you see them potentially doing? And what do you think ultimately happens with Kawhi and Pop?
I don't think anything happens tonight. You know, they've had some conversations, but you know, they need to have the big conversation, and that is getting it for sure from Kawhi Leonard that he wants out, and they still haven't quite gotten there yet with him. So until he gives them that 100% I want out, then they're going to kind of bide their time here a little bit, and then they need to have the conversation with the Lakers once that happens, because that's where Kawhi wants to go. You know, he's still under contract for next year, but he's going to be a free agent next summer, so he's got some leverage there, and he can say, you know, oh, Philadelphia, you want to trade for me? Well, just know that you're only getting 1 year because I'm going to sign somewhere else next year. Then all of a sudden that scares off Philadelphia or Boston or whoever else is interested in trading for him. So, you know, that there's still a lot to figure out, and that's not going to get figured out in the next 3-4 hours,
yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah, you're right, Sean. But do you not believe that he told Pop that when they met out in San Diego?
I don't think that he gave them 100%. I don't think Pop wanted to hear that. You know, I think he wanted to say, you know, here's our case. Think about it. And you know, we wanted to hear the grievances and then say, here's our case. Think about it and we'll reconvene. So I think that's where things stand right now.
Yeah, one quick question for you before we let you go. Dante DiVincenzo,
Villanova's
hero, man. The kid is the workout warrior.
Love him.
But where does he land? How and more importantly, I think, what kind of impact can he have in the NBA?
Well, you know, I mean, he does a little bit of everything. You know, very good defensive player. His athleticism was really impressive at the Chicago pre-draft combine. I think most people thought he would head back to school, but he was so impressive at the combine and has had such great workouts that's why he stayed in. He can go as high as number 17, I think, to Milwaukee, and I think that the floor for him is probably 23, Indiana, but other teams that are in there that'll be interested. I think you've got Milwaukee, Atlanta at 19, Minnesota at 20, Utah at 21, and then, like I say, the Pacers at 23. I think one of those places where he winds up.
Sean, good stuff. Nice detail. Great stat on Young with the uncontested threes. Mm-hmm. Good intel. Enjoy the night. We'll be following you on Twitter. By the way, did you agree? I mean, are you on board with this? If you find out a pick, you're not going to tweet it? I mean, how's this going to, you going to abide by these rules or what?
Yeah, I haven't been one who does that to begin with, so
I got you.
I'll leave that to Woj and those guys.
Gotcha. Thanks a lot, Sean. We'll talk to you, bud.
All right, thanks, guys.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.